Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we do a bit we've never done before. We do Slippery Slope Guy live with caller suggestions. And it went pretty swimmingly. So look forward to that because it's going to be a new bit on this show. Many other stories coming as well. First, I'll tell you about Madison Reed. Mr. Madison Reed makes top shelf hair coloring for women. They've always done it. Lynette loves this stuff. All the pretty girls use it, and now they've decided, well, what about the fellas? What about Madison Reed Mister? So you can do a natural gray blending, good natural look color. You can do it with your hair. You can do it with your beard. I've tried this stuff. It works great. No shoe polish look. You just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. So Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find the color, and you can match it on their website. It's quick and easy. Just put a dollop in your hand, rub it through your hair. Then you put the activator on, you let it sit for 10 minutes, and boom, you are done. It is Madison Reed Mister. Right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com. And use code Adam10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Adam10. Real men are an endangered species, shouted down and hunted. But Adam knows you're out there, alone in a sea of cowards. That's why he built a place for you rare breeds to come together. That's why he created Renaissance Man. At RenManUSA.com, you'll find your one-stop shop for all the products that Adam and real men like yourselves actually want. Things for the outdoorsman, the drinker, the driver, and yes, the lover. Renaissance Man is where Corolla fans go to find carefully curated gifts, vacation packages, and articles on things that are actually interesting, not blogs about which statues should go next. It's a calling card, a place for those who understand that the noblest pleasure in life is living it well. Head to RenManUSA.com for yourself or the man in your life, and get ready because this Christmas, Adam Carolla brings you Renaissance Man. Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, author Marshall Terrell, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects. And now, his face is red because his state is blue. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Your mandate, you get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for telling a friend. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Boom.
It's 97 degrees outside. Nuts.
Nice day.
At least, yeah.
It is hotter than snot over here, and we're past Halloween now, so enough is enough, y'all.
Well, would you like to know? What?
Because they're almost past the election.
That's right. Would you like to know the nosedive we'll be taking over the weekend?
Oh, I am so pumped about being like rainy and 57 on
Saturday.
It's supposed
to be like 60 and rainy. Oh, yeah.
I cannot wait. All right. bunch of stuff to get into today. First, just a side observation. I was doing a Forbes podcast today, and the guy who interviewed me, I think his name was Sean. Anyway, he said, you've been around Trump a few times, spent some time with Trump. What's Trump like in real life? And I said, he's just Trump. He's maybe even Trumpier in real life. Mm-hmm. And there's certain people that are just that way. They're just them, more of them. And then I thought, you know, it's funny. I always laugh at politicians like Hillary Clinton used to do this when she got up in front of the black church and she started with all the y'alls and everything and started
sauce in her purse.
Sounding
she leans in.
Yeah. Start sounding black. And a lot of politicians do it. I thought I've seen Trump do 1,000 rallies and he never changes his voice. And that's kind of that would be him versus like Hillary Clinton, for instance. Like Hillary Clinton, it wants to be all things to all people, and Trump is just Trump.
Yep.
And love it or hate it, he's just Trump. But I thought changing your voice is a very interesting yardstick to kind of measure that, because you get up in front of a crowd and one mind says, I want to be of this crowd. I want this crowd to feel like I'm one of them. And the other goes, hey, I'm doing the talking here. Where's the microphone? You know? Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting dynamic. I don't know if it's good or if it's bad, but it's a pretty good example of Trump just being Trump. Whenever they do one of those rallies, he's in Georgia and he's in Florida and he's in Texas. Like you couldn't tell his voice or even the words he chooses. You could do 10 rallies at 10 places that were as diverse and as different as one another could be. And you would never know the difference between how he sounded.
Nary a yippee-ki-yay, to be
no.
true.
So
well, that's a huge part of his appeal.
Yeah.
Right?
So I thought that was I never thought about the dynamic behind changing your voice. The dynamic is I want to fit in with this group. I want this group to love me and I want them to think I'm amongst them.
I'm them. Yeah.
I'm them. I'm their people.
You know what? Hmm. You know who did that ironically? Was Obama. Obama would definitely lean in and become a little more of, let's just say, wherever he was. Yeah, he was given the State of the Union. You know, that sounds very different.
Yeah, all I noticed from him is he was a black man, is a black man that doesn't have any of the characteristics audibly of a black man, doesn't speak in the vernacular and all that kind of stuff. When he then would get in front of a black group, he would ratchet up the black.
Oh, yeah.
Natural.
You know, another example of the Trump thing, you know, another indicator, and I think it's probably easier to tell on women, his clothing never changes.
Yeah.
Not like, today I'm going to wear my dungarees and my, my cowboy shirt. There's none of that.
Yeah, it's a good point. He doesn't.
He never rolls the sleeves up. No,
turns the chair around.
No, yeah. When Biden and a lot of other guys like tour the Caterpillar plant, off comes the tie, the sleeves get rolled up, and they look like, I may have worked here a few years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. That's a good point. All right. I got some stuff. So we're going to do a live version of Slippery Slope Guy. And we're going to do that in the second hour. We'll see how that goes. If it doesn't go well, I blame the callers. I really do.
Fair. Yeah. Don't internalize. To put it back on them.
Because I suspect we're going to get a lot of joke questions or joke answers. But maybe we'll get some just straightforward stuff, or maybe it'll just be a challenge to work with the people and figure it out. All right, so we will do a Slippery Slope Guy live in the next hour. I have a quick minute and 30 second unprepared to play for you guys. I don't know what the subject of this one is, Max Zapata.
Heartburn.
Heartburn.
Mm. Wow.
These are things that are insane. I never have any idea what I said during this thing. So it's always a surprise.
Yeah, and this is when we did it in Chicago in January. So we sell the ping pong balls.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Heartburn.
Heartburn. I've never had heartburn in my life. And I fucking love seeing people who suffer from heartburn. I love watching commercials. And it's, by the way, it's always white people who want to have the pizza, but they can't. By the way, then in the middle of realizing they want the pizza, but the heartburn is too much, at some point they pull out the medication that they had on them the entire time. So why didn't they fucking know that when they left the car? Why go through that emotional roller coaster where you're like, hey, we're at an Italian restaurant. Oh, I can't eat pizza. Wait a minute. There's this thing in my pocket. Wouldn't you have that knowledge walking into Pinocchio's? I just decided to call my Italian restaurant Pinocchio's. I'm looking for a specific name. Two guys from Italy? How many heartburn sufferers do we have here? What do you eat? What do you want to eat that I can eat with total impunity later on tonight? I'm going to feel good about myself. What's that? Pizza and beer they give you? They give you heartburn? Yeah. Although pussy would be a good one. I know, honey. I don't have my Zantac tonight. Yeah. Speaking of heartburn, there's a little summer sausage down here that could use some attending to as long as we're talking.
And there it is, heartburn.
Well done,
everybody.
Well done.
Yeah. You do have innards of steel. It is a marvel.
Yeah, I know a lot of it is just kind of genetic, your flora and your fauna, as Drew would say. But I got to believe no antibiotics and rolling around in the dirt. I literally dug in the dirt. I made forts in the dirt a lot. Like I made caves, like I dug caves when I was a kid. Finally I got smart and I'd make a trench and throw a piece of wood over the top of it and then throw the dirt on top of the wood. It's an easier way to handle a cave. But I rolled around in the dirt and I never, even as an adult, I never got medication for things. And one time I had strep throat so bad that it just, I was in exquisite pain. I couldn't swallow, whatever. I literally did nothing for like 4 days. And then eventually I went to an emergency room and I just sat in the emergency room for like 2 hours and I went, ah, fuck it. I went home. But I never took any antibiotics or any medication for it. I wouldn't take as much as an aspirin when I was a kid. So there was no remedies. My mom was the kind of health food nut. So she didn't like all that shit, you know, all the stuff you swig and all that.
St. John's wort.
Right. She liked all the shit that didn't work at all.
Right.
So that was a little eye of Newt and a little whisker of the rat. So I went from zero to, you know, my mid-30s without physically putting anything in my body and, you know, sleeping on the floor, essentially. I had a cat, Norman. He was like an indoor-outdoor cat. He'd go hang around under the neighbor's house all day and then come sleep on my bed, you know. I just had playing football and Pop Warner and having all that contact, like physical, sweaty contact with kids. My number one sport, my form of entertainment, my number one pastime was wrestling. I would wrestle with everyone. I would wrestle with the neighbor kids. I would just anyone who wanted to wrestle, we would wrestle. So maybe all the spit and all the sweat and all the whatever and all the football and all that, maybe that's what just created this thing, which I don't again, heartburn or diarrhea or all the stuff. First off, whatever food does to you, food does nothing to me any of the time.
Well, that's the thing that's the most impressive, because back in the day when we used to travel, we all used to travel together and we'd go to these restaurants, we'd do all this stuff and we'd have a show and then we'd be in for a long drive. I would have to do some real math. Being like, all right, how long are we going to be in the car? Yeah. When do we hit the stage? I don't know if my system can handle Hungarian food and then pizza and then whatever we're doing. I don't know if this is a good idea, but you have no thoughts about it.
No, and I never did. And also, maybe this dovetails into my sort of low self-esteem, in that if somebody made something, I ate it. That was the policy. I've never turned down food.
You need sustenance.
Yeah. I would go to everyone else's house and just eat at their house. And I had no dietary requests or issues. My request was, can I sit in on your dinner?
Your request was seconds.
Right. So that was it. And maybe that sort of turned into a perfect storm that created my flora and my fauna. But no, there is no... No, anything. I'm always surprised at how many people I know who are on this medication or medication. Yeah, Brian.
You should ask Drew about this, because so naturally I don't get heartburn that often. However, when I was first put on medication 11 years ago, it causes a lot of heartburn. And so my doctor prescribed Prilosec, which I've never been on, but I took it every day. It worked. I never got to heartburn during my treatment. However, when I finished the Prilosec about a year-ish later, I went off it. My body had stopped producing whatever it is that like suppresses heartburn, and I got heartburn all the time, like at the drop of a hat every day. I had to restart producing whatever suppresses heartburn.
Yeah.
You should ask Drew about that, if that's a common, not common, but amongst people who are on medication, if it kind of interferes with the body's natural ability, as you kind of alluded to make that anti whatever
inflammatory.
Well, yeah, no free lunches in nature, as Drew always says, and it just makes sense that if you suppress something, then your body, sort of from the outside, if you sort of artificially suppress something, then your body's going to slow down. I mean, that's all we do. I always marvel at people can get a 90 Vicodin a day habit and still work at a law firm. You know, it's like... You're just trying to, your body just wants, once that stasis, just wants to get right back to the middle. All right. Oh, yeah. This article. Did we get into this article with the Indian people having more immunes?
You did with Drew.
Oh, with Drew.
Adam and Drew.
Well, this is a good time to get. Somebody tweeted me an article about how India seems to be doing better with the COVID.
Yeah. So the BBC posted an article and saying that new research by Indian scientists from the Council of Scientific and Industrial Research suggests that low hygiene, lack of clean drinking water, and unsanitary conditions may have actually saved many lives from severe COVID-19. And it says India has a sixth of the world's population, a sixth of the reported cases. However, it accounts for only 10% of the world's deaths from the virus. And its case fatality rate, which measures deaths among COVID-19 patients, is less than 2%, which is among the lowest in the world. So they propose that people living in low and middle income countries may have been able to stave off severe forms of the infection because of exposure to various pathogens from childhood, which give them sturdier immunity to COVID-19. And they also talk about the microbiomes that we've gone into as well.
So it's interesting. It's interesting. It doesn't stop you from being infected, but it just doesn't run through your body like it runs through our bodies. And, it is interesting, some of the third world stuff. And maybe we're just snobs, but all I ever hear is how Germany and Italy's doing and how Florida's doing. I don't hear anything about Africa.
No.
I wonder, how many reliable statistics there are, because I don't hear much about that either.
It's like they don't exist, and you would think that these places would be decimated, these poor countries that don't have access to ventilators and all the other shit we used to think worked. But I'm starting to think probably it's for the same reason. probably these people aren't being decimated. Or I'm sure if Africa was being decimated, CNN for sure would let me know about it every eight minutes,
yeah,
right?
Well, I'll be having a concert.
And at the very least, we know how good vitamin D is to fight this thing. And if you're in a sunny environment and you're outside a lot, that's got to help as well,
right?
Like many African countries.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of decimated populations and living in squalor, I told you guys I passed the Lord of the Flies fort off the 101 freeway the other day.
A new submission.
I sent young, lest you think I exaggerate at all. I sent intern Ryan over there to film it from his phone. And I want you to see what I think is kind of a new high, possibly new low in homeless construction. So he's getting off the 101 freeway. Mm-hmm. And where park do I keep screwing up this one?
This
every
is Echo Park.
At Echo Park. And he's filming. There is, you can see there's a mound of leaves in a circle.
Oh, my God.
And palm fronds have been stuck on it to create a perimeter. You'll see as he goes by.
Like an elaborate kid's fort.
They made a fort has been made by also, I think about this a lot. I don't know. Doesn't it sound dangerous to sleep next to a freeway?
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
Doesn't it? I mean, for whatever rules we have, whatever rules we don't enforce, good or bad, could we at least go, hey, man, you can't sleep on the off ramp? Like we have to intervene here.
Yeah, we're 150 yards away from a freeway and our backyard gets very dirty very fast. Like it cannot be safe to be whatever that guy is 70 yards away from the freeway or less 50.
Right. Right.
There's another submission that came to us yesterday. A listener sent this to me on Instagram. This is, where is it on the, Chris, I think you said the 405 in Venice.
Yeah. And I'll put the video up.
And cause we've been talking about the new structures that they're using, you know, if it's two stories or, you know, whatever, check this out for a little more privacy when you're building your encampment. Tell me how sweet this is
from your neighbors.
Wow.
They grab the green fencing from wherever just to give a little more privacy.
Oh, I know those guys. I know that encampment.
Yeah, that's near
not
you.
That far from my house.
They right. literally took that kind of garden privacy green screed material and it was strung on like mobile fencing and created a shade that was 7 foot high.
It's a gated community.
The entire length of, but okay. I don't know what to say. Why?
These aren't homeless people anymore, Adam. All these are actual homes now.
This is a community. This is a neighborhood.
Right. Do we not have people who work for the city? Like don't people show up and go, hey, this is a fire hazard or, hey, I mean, so now you're a mom. And you, what was that off? What was that overpass?
The 405 in Venice.
All right.
Venice Boulevard.
All right. Yeah. So you got to walk your kids somewhere. How do we do this now? You walk in the
street.
Take
the long way.
You go around and just walk. You just walk in the street with the traffic.
Like you don't walk under there.
Of course, the fencing's tagged.
Jesus.
Did you notice that?
Yes, yep. I did. God damn. It is
pretty crazy.
It is insane.
Is that a USC tent? Oh, hard times.
Jesus Christ. All right. Let's see. Let me check what else I have here. Max Pata brought this up a few days back, but I just kind of been sitting on it for a while, which is the model Emily Ratajkowski. Yes, I guess she's pregnant, but she's not going to.
Yeah. So whenever anyone asks if it's a boy or girl, her and her husband have been responding, "We won't know the baby's gender until it's 18."
Till it's 18.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's a twist I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. So What's her husband? Now, is her husband just going along with her because she's hot? Or
I would.
Is he into or is he into this too? I mean, how many fucking husbands have to go down this road now? Like you married this super hottie model. She's crazy. She's ultra woke. She's got some policies and you have to just sit there and kind of suck it up. Like you can't put your foot down. Or how does it work practically? Like,
I don't know what this guy does for a living, but I assume he's rich by his name. Sebastian Bear McLeod.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Hyphenated.
He's really yacht.
Yes.
Yeah.
From the McLeod family. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
The Bear McLeods.
The McLeod estate.
He's yes. an actor and producer.
Yes. He owns sure. a mansion and a yacht. So he just has to go along. And then how does he, when they're talking about their kid, are they allowed to say she or him or her? Or they just have to say the kid's name all the time?
Yeah, can you pick her up from school? What is he getting into? Can you go keep an eye on him? There's a lot of examples. They're just going to get tedious.
It really just, it also, you know, it's sort of getting back to it. Like, I know family, and I think the daughter's, like, deathly allergic to dairy or something. She has a real problem with some food or some spice or something. And it's kind of a full-time job. Like every time you go out to dinner, you have to go, now listen, I have a request. You know, like it keeps you busy. Yep. It makes it's not a carefree childhood because there's a lot of work that has to go into it. I feel like this is that. This is a lot of work.
But it's self-imposed.
Right, right. But also, I have a boy and a girl. They're fine. My son likes being a boy and my daughter likes being a girl and they have different interests and it's kind of how nature works. I don't, it's also an interesting thing, which is why this subject? Like, why are we trying to break this down? I mean, what could be more natural than a boy and a girl? And male and female, like what is you if you want to just talk about nature, and I'm sure Emily loves nature, isn't this kind of the ultimate nature?
Yeah. What problem is this addressing? Like what societal deficit? And if the kid's going to be transgender, let's just say, it'll be pretty obvious pretty quick, won't it?
Well,
I mean, maybe not in the cradle, but like within a few years, you're going to know that kid's got an interest that varies.
I think the answer is kind of in the announcement, which is the answer is I've announced this. So that's all. I mean, that's why they're doing it. You know what I mean? Because let's just say that was your plan. Let's just say you and Christy were doing that. Don't you feel like that's kind of a private, personal thing?
Yeah, there's no need to broadcast that.
All right. Ooh, we got some Slippery Slope Guy stuff lined up.
These are good so far.
All right, so we'll take a break. We got some decent ones lined up. We'll come back with Slippery Slope Guy right after this.
Adam Carolla's I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, has over 1,000 five-star reviews on Amazon. Here's one.
Song of the Language is a little read for me, but I stopped caring after and while because it was so funny.
It is funny, dude. Thanks, Oz. Pick up I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, navigating our all-woke, no-joke culture, and leave your five-star review on Amazon. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
All right, we'll play you guys a random Slippery Slope Guy just so you can get it, and then we'll roll into the live version of it.
And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy on medical marijuana.
Does marijuana have some medical value? Maybe. But it's a slippery slope. First, your doctor's prescribing pot for your mother's glaucoma. Then he's treating your kid's head lice with hashish. And the next thing you know, a gang of government-funded hippies has stormed your house and forced your infant to mainline a speedball, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it!
Well, probably won't be as clean as that one, but that could have been several takes there. But let's start with Clay in Portland. Clay?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, Guy.
Hey. Hope everyone's doing okay. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I guess my suggestion, it actually involves a slope. So it would be wheelchair ramps. You know, the kind you need to get into buildings and stuff like that.
Sure.
Wheelchair ramps. All right. Let's see if we can do this. Oh, man. I probably needed some music, Max Zapata.
I think I
gave you a tough one.
Hmm? I'll go dry on this one, and then maybe we'll do the next
one.
Yeah,
we'll love
them. Hmm. Are wheelchair ramps? All right. Let me try it again. Hey. Are wheelchair ramps necessary and good? Perhaps, but it's a slippery slope. First, it's a wheelchair ramp to get onto the curb. Then it's a wheelchair ramp to get into the restaurant. The next thing you know, it's a wheelchair ramp to get into your daughter's vagina, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Well done.
That's the best I got. That's good.
Maybe we should wrap it up now.
Yeah, man, that was your closer.
Let's see. We got kids playing soccer. Let me talk to, Robert?
Mijo?
Mijo! 39 from Castro Valley.
I got a good one for you, Ace. American kids playing soccer.
Mm, okay. Is American kids playing the European sport of soccer a good thing? Perhaps. But it's a slippery slope. First, we've adopted soccer from the European nations. Then the next thing you know, our kids are eating crepes and drinking champagne. And the next thing you know, we've adopted their religion. We've adopted their parliament. We have become European, and we have no choice but to speak French. Otherwise, we'll be taken to a gulag, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. Oh, got the music. Thank you.
Oh, well done.
That's good.
I got one for you.
Okay.
I don't know what kind of slippery slope this could possibly be, but something that I love people who do this, fostering kittens. Rescue kittens.
Fostering kittens. Rescue kittens. Is fostering kittens and rescuing kittens a good thing? Perhaps. But it's a slippery slope. First, you foster a kitten. Then you foster a puppy. Then you foster a rhino. And then the next thing you know, there's a T-Rex in your living room eating your child. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
I have a lot to rethink. Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't want the T-Rex in your living room?
I don't know how the fostering works, but I imagine you could do it on any
animal.
Just
take kittens for a couple of weeks.
All right. Let's see. This is a tricky one. Marco, 46, Albany, New York. Albany.
Albany. Hola. Nice to be back. Brian, Gina. You look lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, slippery slope. Adding justices to the Supreme Court. Ripped from the headlines.
Adding justices to the Supreme Court. All right. Is adding justices to the Supreme Court a good thing? Perhaps. But it's a slippery slope. First, you pack the court. Then you start passing legislation. Then you find out that this legislation... Ah, fuck.
I was wondering where that was
running out of steam.
I'm out of fucking steam on this one.
All right, I got another one for you.
Well, you know what? Because packing the court is already a slippery slope. It's already
right.
It's already there. It's
right.
We got to the finish line. That is the finish line, Marco.
Hard to find the irony.
Yeah.
Sorry, I crapped out on that one. I got
That's
one.
That's all right. You're still the best.
Thanks. Dawson's got one.
Counting every vote.
Timely.
Okay. It is counting every vote a good thing? Perhaps. But it's a slippery slope. First, we count every vote. Then we count every vote from every dead person that ever lived in Florida or Wisconsin. Then we start counting votes and voting on politicians that aren't even alive. And the next thing you know, Spiro Agnew is running the country and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Well done. That was very good.
That'd be a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, he has to have been dead for a while, right?
God willing.
All right. Let's see. Lisa. Lisa from Cleveland.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
So I think the slippery slope I'm thinking of is the hashtag hero. There were veterinarian heroes and healthcare heroes. Mm-hmm. Now the grocery store heroes work here.
Mm-hmm.
I think she just did it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry.
Is labeling everyone a hero a good thing? Perhaps, but it's a slippery slope. First, the grocery store people are heroes. Then the nurses are heroes. Then the doctors are heroes. Then the crossing guards are heroes. Then the truck drivers are heroes. Then the ranchers are heroes. Then the pedophiles are heroes. And it's a slippery slope because there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Perfect. Hold on.
Forehead temperature scans. All right, let's try that one.
What's the possible slippery slope?
Joe, 41.
All the women in Seattle, you need to have sex with Joe.
Right, Gina.
Oh, I said that. Again. All right.
Yeah. What's going on,
well,
Joe?
I feel it just bears repeating whenever possible, because as far as I can tell, the women in Seattle have mostly not gotten the message, so it might be a COVID thing, though. I don't know. Oh, this, Gina, I'm just getting caught up with some old episodes, but you remember when you were saying, I have a big secret about the movie Hocus Pocus. I have this big surprise I want to tell you. I thought you were going to say that Sarah Jessica Parker, this is true, in real life, she turns out, when she was doing research for the role, she was descended from a real witch in the Salem witch, a person who was tried as a real witch. I assume not an actual real witch. But
that's a great Snapple
fact. That is actually where I thought when you said, I have this awesome thing about the movie I want to tell you.
I never said it was awesome.
You were going there.
Well great done. Story. Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Forehead temperature scans.
Oh.
Forehead temperature scans. Are they a good idea? Perhaps, but it's a slippery slope. First, you have to get the forehead temperature scan to enter the building. Then, you have to get fingerprinted before you get on the airplane. Then, you have to perform oral on a captain before he takes the plane off. And then you have to get a retinal scan to tell your child you love them and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. All right, I'm out of gas.
I don't think we're going to get better than that.
All right, we'll do that again.
Well done.
I think I blew my voice out. Thanks. Yeah, it's been a while.
Literally, all we do is sit here and laugh and watch you tap dance. So that's a good bit.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it. Keep it in the hopper there. We'll do it once a week or something. All right, let me hit stamps.com, and then we'll get in some other subjects I wanted to get into. As we adjust to our new normal, we still need to be smart about how we do business. Luckily, stamps.com is around. We've been working with these guys for 10 years, over 10 years now. We send out merch, we send out books, we send out paperwork. Whether you're a small business sending invoices, online seller, shipping products, or just working from home, you need to mail stuff. Stamps.com lets you buy and print U.S. postage for any letter, any package, 24/7. Do it at home. Do it from the convenience of your own home. 5 cents off every first-class stamp. Up to 62% discount on USPS and UPS shipping rates as well. Special offer, 4-week trial. You can try it out, free postage, and a digital scale, no long-term commitment. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, top of the homepage, and type in Adam. That's stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right. I was sitting around last night, and I was kind of thinking about COVID, and I realized the biggest disconnect I think we have is we are looking at it as a kind of equal opportunity killer, and it was presented to us as an equal opportunity killer, and it's something I was screaming about from day one, like, what are the ages of the people that are dying? How old are they? That's something. Well, remember I was asking about that when we were talking to your newsman, all
Steve Gregory, but we didn't know yet.
Yeah, but when a guy in a nursing home that's 84 dies, you can have that information.
But we didn't know why the county wasn't releasing it.
I don't think anybody in any newsroom or any county representative was interested in giving us perspective. They weren't giving us perspective.
Agreed.
There is a massive, I mean, obviously, I have a 87-year-old mom who's not well. I have a 14-year-old daughter who is well. The difference between those two being claimed by this disease is the difference between a sad moment in time and total devastation, a life destroyed. That's the difference between those two, just those two getting the disease, two women in my life. That is the difference. And we didn't get perspective. And I was thinking, I keep seeing all these stories where it's like, oh, Cam Newton's in quarantine because Cam Newton's infected. And then it's like he's starting the next week or the week after. You know what I mean? It's like
he might not have the pep in his step. He had COVID.
You can't really start at the NFL level as a quarterback if you're not 100% especially Cam's, you know, running game and everything else. So then I started thinking, I keep hearing about these, you know, college athletes getting it, football players, Major League Baseball, NFL. Like every time I watch SportsCenter, like so-and-so for the 49ers, the cornerback, he's got it. They're scared he's infected some of the other teammates, so now they got a quarantine or whatever. I don't hear any stories about these guys even getting sick. I just hear them testing positive. I don't hear anybody's rush to the hospital. I don't hear, you know, oh, it's touch and go with Cam Newton. It's like all I hear is these guys get it and then they're back. Most of them, it seems like, don't want to even take the week off that's the upcoming game, but they're forced to quarantine. I think the Clemson quarterback just had this happen to him. Mm-hmm. And then they just come back. So this is, and now we have protocols that work better. And we have, you know, we have medicine and things, and we figured some stuff out. But this doesn't seem to be anything to young, healthy, strong, uncompromised people. It really doesn't. I mean, otherwise, you know, when this thing started, when they were talking about starting the college football season and NFL, Mike August was like, oh, people are going to die. People are going to die. And I said, I don't think they're going to die because they're 19. And
they're world-class athletes.
And they're world-class athletes. Like, they're not going to, you know, no, somebody's going to. And it's true. Some of the world-class athletes are, you know, 375-pound interior linemen who are carrying a little extra weight. But where are all the stories about the college guys dying or the pro guys dying or the guy for the Dodgers who got it and he played in the World Series.
Turner?
Yeah, Justin Turner.
Justin Turner.
Yeah, where's he? What's going on? Like, where are all the stories?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, Brian. I'm sure this is a movie you've seen before. Not recently, a couple weeks ago, I saw Contagion for the first time, which is David Fincher, I think?
No, Steven Soderbergh.
Thank you. I mix them up and I have no idea why. But Adam, have you seen Contagion? You know, Gwyneth Paltrow, Matt Damon, lots of people.
No, I don't think I have.
And I hadn't seen it. I know obviously what it's about. And the big story when this, all the COVID started, was Contagion was the number one streaming movie on Netflix because right. people can't right. get enough, you know, right. craziness. And I thought, well, I got to see this. And my first thought, because that movie is, if you're infected, you die. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That it doesn't matter how strong you are, how healthy, how young, how old. And you're watching this movie, and it does seem sort of post-apocalyptic and like a horror movie. And my first thought after the movie was, well, thank God, what we're dealing with isn't that. Oh. You know, this is not that.
Well, this would be it'd be the worst movie ever. None of these college guys are dying. None of these pro guys are dying. If this is a movie, the whole NFL would have to be taken out. So also, it's a little early because of all the election hubbub, but I have been saying I do kind of hope that this election comes sooner than later so we can stop all the fucking COVID talk and open the schools and all that shit. And now it's tough because all the election stuff is still, you know, all the plates are still spinning. But this has been the first 2-day period I've not seen COVID all over CNN. And I suspect now that, well, as long as Trump loses and they can't use it as a cudgel to beat Trump with, I think CNN may be done with COVID.
Wow.
They may. Yeah. It's going to be 90% less COVID talk now. that much we know. And then all the dumb scared people can now get back to their lives, which would be nice.
Will, just to clarify what you're saying about 90% less COVID talk, do you think it'll be 90% less in general or 90% less doom and gloom? It'll start saying the clouds are parting. Now things are starting to work. Now
people are vaccine oriented talk. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. I could definitely see it. Yes. It'll be much less doom and gloom now that the election's over and
less grim milestones.
Somebody should get Barbara Ferrer on and say, all right, election's over. She said done, but the health commissioner or whatever for L.A. County. Can we get the schools back up and running? All right. I I'm obsessed with the side of the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And
it's come up once or twice, Junior.
You guys have heard the,
I guess,
the whole soliloquy about how the sprinkler can't, all the sprinkler's doing is growing weeds right. at the bottom of the embankment when it's supposed to be mm-hmm. spraying the top of the embankment. And the sprinklers mm-hmm. are down at the bottom of the embankment and they're aimed at these pepper trees, which haven't grown an inch. So yesterday when I went over to explore, I found you can show there's now puddles of water.
Runoff.
No, it's not runoff. It never gets up the fucking hill because
it's dripped down.
The weed is blocking the sprinkler.
That's just offensive.
Yeah. It's
we're not that far removed from the drought. Like, are we just going to make this a priority?
Well, first off, why not just put a fucking drip line where the tree is? Why shoot it from 20 feet away? And didn't everyone kind of know this was going to happen? This freeway, they're now puddles of water, which are just going to grow more weeds or get mosquito larvae in it.
That's right.
There's no chance that that weed is so robust and so thick and so stout. There's no way an ounce of water can get past the weed to the tree. So every day it's just going to go off. I don't know how the tree's going to grow because the tree's not going to get any water.
Like, the tree's essentially suffocating.
6 months ago, they cleared the whole side to redo it. It is now back to exactly where it was. Like,
with a vengeance.
This is an impossibility, Maxipata, but can we find who's in charge of this stretch of fucking highway and go, what the fuck? Like, what really? There should be a class action lawsuit against whoever designed this or executed this. First things first, it could never work. They literally had a weed filled side of a freeway and it's gone right back to a weed filled side of a freeway because how else could it go? They did the exact same thing.
I never knew an irrigation system could be passive aggressive.
Yes.
Well, that's
it. It feels very like happy now.
How expensive could that be to put in like an irrigation / drip system? And wouldn't you save money over the long run if you're not indiscriminately spraying gallons of water on the side of the road?
I do not know. I have.
It's a reasonable question.
I have queried many times when I see the sprinklers going off during a rainstorm on the side of a freeway.
You'll see like, it this weekend.
Hey, you can go to Home Depot and get a rain sensor. You know, they sell them. All the homeowners I know have a rain sensor in their irrigation system, because who wants to waste water when God is raining all over your shrubbery? I'll tell you who doesn't care about it. The people who constantly inform you that we're living in a desert, we have drought-like conditions, and you need to conserve water.
Right. Yep.
Those are the same people that are creating puddles underneath their weed embankments at the bottom of the freeway, and the ones who just fire off the Rainbird during a rainstorm. So I ask you, do you want more of these people? Do we want more of this? Or could we fucking reel it in? And why is there nobody just in charge of anything? The other side of the freeway where you get on the freeway just has a perpetual dirt lot and a truck parked in the middle of it, a bunch of open boxes. Like, that's just perpetually there. Just dirt, a truck that we probably paid $51,000 for, and just a bunch of open boxes and like some garden hose just sitting there. That's just been there.
A little bit of everything.
That's been there for years. All right. Hey, yes.
You know, I'm shocked that nobody's brought this up in general on local news, Twitter, anything. You know how there was big fanfare when the Dodgers came back from winning the World Series? And of course, we can't have a parade or anything. So the big deal was, as the plane was taxiing back in to LAX, there were a giant like water salute with those water trucks. Yeah. And I can't believe there's been no like, are you fucking kidding me? We're in a drought.
Yeah.
And that was their big welcome back. And I'm just shocked that it hasn't come up.
Well, also, you know, this is California. This is like the epicenter of the Green New Deal. You know, we're constantly talking about resources and not wasting resources and all that. Can't even look. First things first, we don't need to be the first people to the party. Just fucking do what Arizona and Vegas does. The reason they don't have weeds is because they don't water, because they put in the right plants for the right climate, and they put their ground cover in, and then that's that. You get the fuck on with your life.
Succulents and rocks would look great.
Right. Like Brian said, ice plants are pretty. Everybody likes them. Put them in.
I'm going to keep watching that weed. I'm going to monitor that weed. It's about it's about 9 foot high now. And pretty soon it's going to die. And then we're going to have all that burnt looking brown shit all over.
If that isn't a fire hazard, I don't know what is. All that kindling when that turns brown.
Yeah, we got to figure out who's in charge of this stretch. I would love to interview that human being.
What do you even ask for? What do you Google? What who is that highway? Is that landscaping?
Well, who changes your bib?
If I talk to the person, I'm going to ask them initially for a PET scan. I want to know if their fucking brain is functioning.
Drink this barium.
Right.
Well, last year in August, Garcetti appointed Rachel Mollarich as LA's first ever city forest officer, who would oversee the growth of Los Angeles's urban forest and help the city reach its goal to plant 90,000 trees by 2021.
Well, they planted them, but shouldn't the goal be that they grow? Because those things ain't going to grow. It's 98 degrees outside right now, and they ain't getting any water. It also shows you, like we always talk about genetic diversity and mutts and all that. The power of the weed, man.
Relentless.
Nobody planted that weed. That fucking weed found a way. And that weed has gone from invisible, literally in the soil, unrecognizable, to robust. And those fucking those pepper trees, those purebred pepper trees, have not fucking grown an inch. Now, it's true. They're they're Bogarting all the water. But think about how fucking powerful nature is when you kind of leave it alone. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's cultivating that. No one's helping it along. No one's fertilizing it. No one even wanted it there, and no one even put it there. And that fucking weed has gone ballistic in the last 4 months. That's basically nature. All right.
Yeah, and their roots are thick. I mean, they're just sucking up every ounce of water. They're like, well, carrots when you pull them out.
It gets all the water now because it is. But it's as if it's an evil weed. I'm going to block this water source. None of the water shall make it up the hill to the evil pepper tree. And I will have all the water for my root ball. So yep. Says evil weed. All right. Let's take ourselves a quick break. Marshall Terrell, who's he's written many, 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 many books. And he's doing one on Steve McQueen, which I'm very interested in. As a subject, he's done books on Ken Norton, the boxer, Johnny Cash, Pete Maravich, Elvis Presley. I mean, it just keeps going and going. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk to Marshall Terrell right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.